a Maroon Community Media production.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Maroon Community Media's first community podcast being recorded here at the Living Room Library, 4th Street, Edmonton.
Yeah!
I'm Marlene Cato, and I'm your podcast host for tonight, and we'll be discussing the challenges we face living in the city. First of all, I want my panel members to introduce themselves and say which area they live in and one unknown fact about themselves. So let's start with Georgina.
I'm Georgina. I've lived in Edmonton most of my life. One unknown fact about me. I've seen a very well-known, iconic singer twice, who unfortunately is no longer with us. So,
Shall we guess who that is? I think it's Bob Marley.
No, it can't be. No. Can't be.
Luther Vandross.
Because he died 81, didn't he?
I'm not sure.
Are you James tell Brown? Us?
Michael Jackson.
Oh!
MJ.
Wow. MJ himself. Ooh. And he definitely is iconic. We move on to Syra.
Hi, my name's Syra. I'm a local educator. I work with permanently excluded young people. And I'm also an activist for human rights.
Where do you live?
I'm in the area, in the vicinity.
Yeah, in the vicinity.
Between Tottenham and Edmonton.
On the borders.
On the borders, exactly. Front line. And an unknown fact about me, I'm not sure. I love to cook. I'm a great cook.
I'll have to taste that.
What's the most complicated thing you've cooked?
Usually it's a big fat biryani. I make like a 5 kilo one, and it's a long process. Marinade and layer and steam. And
are we getting hungry already, folks?
I don't know why she didn't bring food.
That's what my mum said before I left. Why haven't you cooked? But yeah.
Thank you. And over to Amma.
Hello, I'm Amma. I'm a techie and problem solver. And I've lived in Edmonton on and off for the last 18 years or so.
One known unknown fact about yourself.
I love to skate.
What kind of skates do you have?
I have the old school.
The old school?
The old school eights or quads, yeah. And I only came back to skating after 40, after not doing it since childhood. So
that sounds like another podcast. Over to you, Jennifer.
My name is Jennifer Cato Yankee, and I'm a nurse. Yes, I am. I'm a nurse, and I live in the vicinity. And what is an unknown fact about me? Oh, yes, I have an alter ego that I sometimes do comedy with. And it's very interesting and a lot of fun.
Give us a sample.
Darling, I love everything about the podcast because everybody could talk together. Oh, darlings.
That's good.
So, thank you, Jennifer. And
no, darling, that was Andrula.
And Andrula.
There's six of us here, actually. Six ladies, not five.
Well, the theme of tonight's podcast is living in the city, and we want to know, what are the challenges? How do you feel about life at the moment? So I'm going to start by asking Amma.
I think it's quite a tough time. And it's really, for me, it's trying to find the joy in the small things, because it's quite a heavy time in terms of the economy, jobs, the cost of living is just constantly going through the roof, and there's just so much uncertainty. So it's just trying to find joy in the simple things in life.
And what's your thoughts on that, Syra?
Oh, gosh, don't get me started. We're just in a really bad place, to be honest. It's a mess. And I feel like if the government brought some money back to society, whether it's the NHS or the schools or youth services, we'd be in a better situation. So all these people don't need to be homeless or hungry. Kids don't need to not have heating. Even like the rising youth crime with the young people that I work with doesn't need to be happening to bring funds back to local people.
Yeah. Syra, if we had to think about Edmonton in comparison to the rest of the borough. What are your thoughts?
It's really bad. It's completely different here to how it is in Enfield. Like the prostitution, I mentioned it earlier, especially around here, is horrific. It's constant. It's 24 hours a day. The prostitution, the crack. There's syringes in my car park. We constantly have break-ins. The young people have nowhere to go. This library provides an excellent service. And there's a community base for young people. But we need more of it. Like, the streets here are a mess in terms of even rubbish collection. You don't see that in other areas.
Yeah.
So I don't know why that's acceptable for there to be syringes and condoms lying around the streets. It's not safe and it's not clean in Edmonton, personally. That's my view.
Georgina, picking up on some of the maybe young people and being out of work, what are your thoughts?
I could be here all day, to be honest. We've been slowly sleepwalking into this probably for decades. For young people, it's a mixture of an underinvestment within the local area, an overemphasis on retail. There's a lot of antisocial behaviour, which may be learnt from family, it may be their peers, it may be just a lack of anybody actually being a good influence in terms of family or friends on young people. So it means that they end up leaving the school system either with poor social skills, poor skills that they can't translate into sort of being a productive employee, or it means that they continue with their antisocial behaviour, which ends up being sort of criminality and so forth. And I think there's also, I think, going back to her point, I think they see the area as being quite invisible and embarrassing. So these issues, we're talking about it now because of the cost of living, which is more of an urgent issue. But I've been seeing these issues for decades. I could literally be talking for hours and hours and days about it, but that's it so far for young people.
Jennifer, in terms of the health issues that you have seen within Edmonton, what do you think are the key health issues and what do you think are some of the solutions?
Firstly, can talk about maybe the youth, the young people. Some of the health issues are to do with more asthma, more allergy, more stomach and sort of food type, sort of fussy eating, all that kind of stuff. Because when you look at young people, I think because they haven't had the experience of eating particular foods, sometimes when it's introduced to them, they just don't know how to eat it. They still find it difficult to eat certain fruit and veg because maybe they're used to finger foods and things like that. And so we look at diet and nutrition, and that is a big cohort of some of the illnesses we have now with young children. Malnutrition, teeth, dental and oral care. A lot of these things, if the children don't have proper nutrition, they begin to lose teeth or they get dental caries or they're eating more sweet stuff and not having to have proper dental care, and which is another big health issue because we don't have enough NHS dentists. And what you find is if the parents don't have a place to go, then it's hard for the parents to then take their children to the dentist. So it just has a knock-on effect, because if the children can't eat because they've got the poor teeth, their nutrition will go down.
That's an interesting point, because when we look at the demographics of Edmonton, we notice it's quite a young part of the borough. And as you go further into Enfield, that the demographics become a lot older.
Right.
So as being a very young part of the borough, it sounds like we need more services to deal with young people's health, young people's health, particularly dentists if they're in short supply, NHS dentists, and also looking into some of these dietary factors. Is there anything else about any other age group that anyone else has seen? What about the mental health post-pandemic?
It's terrible, isn't it?
I think it's been exacerbated by everybody being sort of cut off in a way. I think with young people, I don't know what it's like in schools, but I'm hoping there's more support. If I think about sort of the way safeguarding now is more key of the key element of being in schools and colleges, I think it's a lot better. Things have improved. However, I'm not quite sure. I think with a lot of young people, particularly young men, there needs to be more of a mentoring, because some young men may not have that father figure, even young girls. So in terms of mentoring, I think it needs to be something that needs to be, I don't know, more of a structured element, and I don't really know anybody's involved in schools and colleges in the local area with, and like that's in place. But I think sometimes some young people, particularly online, get into their own head. So they're saying at the moment, in terms of evidence, that there's a lot of concern regarding young people being online to such an extent that recruitment consultants have now said young people should not, under any circumstances, take a remote job because they feel that it means that they will stop having empathy skills.
So let's move on to another point. So what do you think prevents you or people in general from taking positive action on some of these issues that we've raised?
I think it's a combination of things. Like post-COVID, everyone's just, we're more separated, aren't we? And it's taking time to get back to being unified. And then lack of leadership in politics. Everyone's just disheartened, don't they? And not be complacent. You know, like we have to be the change that we want to see. To make that quote of, we have to get together and do more community initiatives and back each other, I suppose. Like,
Emma, what are your thoughts?
I think lack of information is a big hurdle. Access to grants and things to start off, you know, small scale businesses, etc., initiatives, not knowing where to start, who to actually approach in the first place to grow an idea. And then there's the financial restrictions of getting loans as well to start businesses. That's probably why you have people starting out well, initially in the first year, getting through breaking even, and then suddenly when they want to maybe grow and expand, then things going wrong within their businesses. So I think there needs to be a lot of education, but then people need to know, people don't know what they don't know to get that access to information.
So picking up on that point before we move on, it sounds like there needs to be some more business support in the area.
Yeah, I think so. A lot more grassroots business support, I think.
Georgina, I think you wanted to say something.
I think there just needs to be a radical overhaul. It needs to be people really being like a guerrilla tactics and getting and even encouraging young people to be, get more involved in local politics and even national politics to get things heard locally. It needs to be some kind of major shock element because at the moment it's like we're talking in circles because we're not, but I think a lot of people have the ideas and it's very small, it's very contained, but it needs to be a further, more people need to know what's going on, like the problems and the solutions at the same time.
So you've spoken about the political element. Is there any other element, Jennifer, that you want us to consider?
Yes, because I'm hearing from young people, they feel down. They don't feel supported. They feel like, well, what's the point? They don't see a future. And when you talk to young people, they say, well, it was different in your days. You could get two jobs and you can, you know, you can go on holidays and all that. Young people need hope. And the other thing I'm hearing is they apply for jobs and nobody wants to employ them because they're always looking for people who've got the experience already. But if you're not going to give the young people a chance, at times a bit of enterprising, a little bit of apprenticeships, coaching, giving them skills, giving them the confidence, giving them a chance to even just to have the experience of being interviewed. And instead of putting them down, building them up because they're the men and the women of tomorrow. And if we are looking for young people to then run this country in their maybe 5-10 years later, how are we going to give them the skills and the opportunities to become those young people who are going to be stand-up citizens? And not every child in Edmonton, let's say, is bad, right? And is worrisome and has all kinds of issues. If we don't start tackling it from the grassroots in the schools, from the primary schools, from nursery, building them up from there and making sure that they have these skills, what chance do we have to have these young people to run the country?
Thank you for that point. And in wrapping up, so looking at what would help most, so some of the, you've already mentioned, like interview skills, giving them a chance. And I know that some companies, the more kind of techie companies, are not even doing formal interviews. They're asking young people to send in videos of why do they think they'd be great at doing this job as an alternative way. And I think that builds in really nice to the skills of young people who are so media savvy and social media savvy. So I think that really helps them to sell themselves as opposed to a formal piece of paper, putting in CVs in the traditional way. So what else could help?
Relating to what you were saying,
yeah,
and the whole conversation, there's not enough representation at the decision-making levels, whether it's education, health, government. We're still not seen. We're not in these conversations, so we can't contribute. So in terms of what's being taught at school, there's a disconnect with what the young people are actually experiencing. And that's because we're not in those rooms and at those tables. So whether it's become a governor, parent-teacher association, become a teacher, be in the places where the discussions are happening to contribute, because we need deep policy change in terms of what's taught at school. Mm. So all the things you've mentioned are things I deliver because I work with the excluded kids, whether it's financial education, mental health support, knife crime, being groomed online. They're not getting that support in the schools. And what was my point going to be? Like, some of them are on CAMHS waiting list for 3 years,
yeah,
and are self-harming, and the most is happening to them.
Anxiety.
And yeah, they just need someone to talk to and guide them through that.
I just need to quickly say that, interestingly enough, the regeneration that's happening in Tottenham is fascinating to me. Because there's a contact I know who's saying they've got really high achieving students who are going into primary schools and teaching young children, with the view that within the school they've then got these young people who've got very high grades and they're trying to sort of move them on to Uxbridge College University. And I've never heard anything like that in my life. So clearly something is going on in Tottenham because of the regeneration. So I'm thinking, why is that not happening in Edmonton? There's also a bigger issue around sort of business leaders and the business sector. You need to really have some young business leaders who can actually just start mentoring young people or just giving people advice on how on earth to get the business up and running.
Over to you, Emma.
I think there's a lot to be said for the general public getting more involved. So I'll give you an example. Georgina, you talked about Tottenham, and there's a lot of development and regeneration going on there. A friend of mine went to a meeting there, and she said that there was not enough of us in the room. It was literally business leaders and none of the locals. So decisions are being made without our input. And that's having a huge knock-on effect on shaping the community. So we have to be involved, we have to be in the room, but then we also need to be aware of these meetings that are taking place. It's a two-way thing. It's communication, I would say. It needs to be communicated that these meetings are happening. We need your opinion. We need your input. And then we need people to actually participate and turn up and be present. Otherwise, things will not go, the community's way.
Thank you for all your points that you've brought over today. So if you had to think of, in summing up on reflection of this podcast, you've got three words to say in your final words. So think of your three words, and we're going to start with Georgina.
I'd say radical, bigger picture. Key, very, very important people have to be involved. Very important people. VIPs.
Thank you. Syra?
Health, justice, and revolution, actually.
Interesting. Emma?
I'd say impact, inclusion, and participation.
Jennifer?
Invest, plan, action.
Thank you. Thank you for taking part in Maroon Community Media Community Podcast. Don't forget, Maroon Community Media is here the last Monday of every month between 5 and 7 p.m. If you want to learn more about podcasting, developing your skills, or take part in a community podcast, Maroon Community Media is here to help. At the Living Room Library, 109 4th Street, Edmonton, N18 2XF. I'm Marlene Cato. Thank you for joining me.